the last verse of the first reading this morning. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. Tomorrow is Gift Day. This is an incredibly old-fashioned institution in the Church of England. I don't actually know of another parish in the Diocese of London that still does it, but we do it here. It's the day when the vicar sits in church from 7 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock in the evening, with the occasional very brief comfort break, and invites the congregation to bring him enough money to balance the books for the year. The sum that needs to be raised this year is relatively low by the standards of past years. We need £9,300. We've done it like this for years and years. We get money in, we spend money, and as we come towards the end of the year, we see what bills are still to come in, what income is likely to arrive, and we make a best guess at how much we need to balance the books on our ordinary income and expenditure. So I shall be here all day tomorrow, and I'd be delighted if you were to join me, bringing a gift with you. Actually, even if you don't bring a gift with you, just come and say hello. Or if you can't bring a gift tomorrow, send one in at any point during the month of December. I'm not going to say anything in detail about numbers. There's a gift day leaflet that looks like this. Make sure you take one away with you. And that gives you the big numbers in rough outline. If you'd like detailed figures, breakdowns and things like that, then the treasurer, the church wardens, the office will be very glad to support them. I just want to make two larger observations that are raised for me by the phenomenon of Gift Day. The first is this. Paul the Apostle spent quite a bit of time organizing a collection for the church in Jerusalem. He refers to it many times in his letters. One of the reasons that he liked the Philippians so much, we had the beginning of his letter to the Philippians as the second reading. One of the reasons he liked them so much was because they contributed so generously to his collection. He had two motives for raising this collection. One is a slightly subtle one. Paul had this problem, you see, that he had not met Jesus of Nazareth. He'd encountered the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, but he hadn't walked and talked with the earthly Jesus before his death and resurrection. And so some of the apostles thought that he wasn't really a proper apostle. How could he be? This was something he'd taken on himself rather than something that God had commissioned to him, that Jesus had commissioned him to in Jesus' own lifetime, as he'd commissioned Peter and the others. And I think Paul hoped that by taking this collection for the church in Jerusalem and handing it over to support the Christian community there, it would be a way of regularizing or stabilizing his own position as an apostle. But he has another and a deeper reason. Paul's got this extraordinarily strong sense of the interdependence of the Christian congregations in his care. They need one another in every possible way, and they also need one another financially. The relatively rich Christians up in Philippi, a garrison town where there are lots of regular army salaries being paid, or the rich port city of Corinth, they could afford to give something to help the struggling, the financially struggling Christian community in Jerusalem.